KSL at night. KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, and I am chatting with really interesting guests about all the interesting things that are happening today in the world. So here's the thing. We talk a lot about social media on this show, and we've talked a lot about the damage it can do to teenagers. We've talked quite a bit about how Utah is suing some of the social media giants, kind of depending on what problem it is that they are trying to solve. But the thing is, we're rolling into a presidential election year. So there's actually another area that we can be talking about, which is politics and how social media intersects with political content. So as you are scrolling, you are probably starting to see political ads. You might be seeing some political content. You might start seeing some of the drama that's happening in a presidential election year. Inside the state of Utah, we've got a Senate race. We've got a governor's race. We've got an attorney general's race. I mean, like, all sorts of fun things happening politically up and down the ballot. And I'm going to tell you what, social media is going to reflect that. What's interesting is Meta, which is the owner of Facebook and Instagram and Threads, is now automatically enrolling all of their 3 billion users in a setting that limits their platforms from suggesting political content. So my understanding is, like, if you're someone like me, I'm going to tell you I follow a lot of political people, right? So if you're a political scientist or a political science professor, you're going to be following people. It wouldn't affect that. Like, they're not going to turn off me getting information from the political thought leaders that I follow. But it won't suggest political content unless I opt into getting those suggestions. I'm trying to figure all this out. Luckily, I've got with us Earl Foote, CEO and founder at Nexus IT. He's a technology expert. Earl, welcome to the show.
Leah, thanks for having me on. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, Earl, first, make sure you correct anything that I just said. And then, but also talk to us. What is Meta doing? Like, what is going on here?
Everything that you said, Leah, is accurate. It's interesting in a day and age where in political conversations, there is so much polarization and so much divisiveness. We're now going to have a conversation around divisiveness in social media's role in it, right? The interesting thing is that, as you mentioned, Meta has made a decision to, rather than having an opt-out feature, they've enabled an opt-in feature and now have, by default, disabled any political related content in your feeds, unless it's somebody you are connected to or follow. The why behind, there can be a lot of speculation, and there has been a lot of speculation about, Meta's own political leanings as an organization or of its founders, in the past. You can certainly, think about those sort of topics, whether they're relevant or not. In the end, Meta's position on this, what they have stated, is that they've made the decision based upon their user base, the requests of their user base, as well as past scrutiny that they face. And in the interest of having no political alignment projected onto them, they've chosen to simply remove political content from feeds unless you're opting into wanting to see that political content, right? Also, again, stating that their users, by and large, are saying that they would prefer to see personal content, stay in contact with friends and family, and not necessarily see political content. You and I are in very different worlds, Leah, and probably have very different sort of perspectives, on this. I personally find the lack of social and emotional intelligence that we bring to political conversations today to be quite off-putting. And I personally don't really want it in my social media feed. I personally kind of like that bifurcation. But I realize my personal opinion doesn't represent everybody's opinion either.
Yeah, no. Earl, I appreciate that point so much, right? So the answer is humans are still human when they're in social media. And so the things that make Thanksgiving dinner awkward sometimes would make a conversation in a feed, right, awkward sometimes. But let me ask you a question as a college professor of 18 to 22-year-olds, right? So not super aware of what's happening in the news, really not checked into what is happening on the planet. If I told you what, you know, Threads top trending cases were, one of those is that there is a there was like an attack on the World Central Kitchen. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of young people maybe don't even know what that alludes to, right? That we're talking about the Gaza conflict and that's happening over there. So my question is, if I'm asking these 18 to 22-year-olds to be like fully functioning citizens of our republic, right? And I know that most of the information they get about anything comes from their social media feed. Like, your point's well taken, Earl, but I worry a little bit, right, about maybe if they follow me because they're in my family, right, you know, some of the young people in my life, or if they follow me because I'm their professor, if they were able to say, I want to only see Dr. Murray when she's, you know, like running the half marathon, right, or like they only want the personal stuff, then they maybe never get enough information secondarily, if that makes sense, to have knowledge, to know what's going on in the world. And a little bit what I like about feeds that are not bifurcated the way you said that you like them is because you kind of accidentally get knowledge. Does that worry you at all? I mean, like, some people are concerned about that kind of accidental, you know, information uptake, if you will.
It is a very real consideration, as well as, you know, freedom of speech is a very real consideration. Yeah. And I certainly am not an advocate for limiting anybody's freedoms of speech or freedom to be able to consume the content they want to consume, right? You know, this situation, and candidly, I am one of those who, you know, even though I am a Gen Xer, the majority of my news now comes through social media.
Yeah.
You know, I don't turn the TV or the radio on nearly as much as I did when I was younger. I see a lot more of it, you know, on my mobile device now than I do on those more traditional platforms. And so, I totally see in my children, being Gen Zers, you know, the majority of their wherewithal of the world comes from social media. So there's a definite consideration there. I think there's a couple of, you know, other things that we have to think about. One is that these are privately held companies. That means that it is in the decision of those entities, their boards, you know, their shareholders, to make decisions about, you know, how to steer and guide that company. And they don't necessarily need to be a public service. You know, that isn't necessarily their civic duty, right? So there is that sort of piece. The other piece is, I can tell you from my side of the coin, which is, you know, my expertise is in cybersecurity, data privacy. There is a massive amount of misinformation out there, you know, and political misinformation. In fact, there has been a significant amount of social media content proved to have come from nefarious or malicious nation states outside of our own, who are trying to spin specific political narratives to influence the political leanings of the American public, to even influence elections. And so while I agree with you, Leah, that I think that it's positive for those who don't potentially have ready access to news and political information to be able to obtain that in the platform of their preference, I also know that there's a lot of information that can mislead them and misguide them. Does that information accurately give somebody who receives no information about politics at all, does it give them a holistic view to be able to make a well-rounded decision around that information? Potentially not, or even, you know, potentially be misguided. So I think there's a bigger picture there. But I also agree with you on, you know, I would like the American public to be informed and to understand, you know, what's happening in our country, in our world, and to be able to make smart decisions and, you know, form smart perspectives around it. Is social media the place for that? I don't know, right? Again, it's a privatized sort of platform, not a public, you know, entity that's or public services being provided, you know, by the government.
Earl Foote, CEO and founder at Nexus IT. This is all so complicated. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I'm sure we'll have you back as we keep exploring what's going on with it.
Thank you, Leah. It was a lot of fun.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for being with us this evening. If you missed any of it or you came in halfway through a segment and you're dying to know what we were talking about, make sure to check out our podcast. You can always go back and listen on kslpodcast.com or any app where you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time.